The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, from the Minute with Mary studio, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the Harry Potter universe, whether it's books or films or soon-to-be television shows. So welcome. And let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure.
Something was funky with our sound there for a second. Hold on. You can take the reins here, Marvin.
All right. Yes, it is a rainy day here in Providence, Rhode Island. And I'm actually wearing a sweatshirt perfect for it. It says Pumpkins, Potions, Polyjuice, and Potter.
Yeah, I feel like that's what we should be doing today.
We are.
for the rest of the day.
Oh, alas, we have real life responsibilities to be doing, right?
Yeah, so for those of you who were listening to the intro there, sorry about that weird like crackling sound for our intro. I don't know what the heck happened.
Somebody's first time.
Oh my goodness gracious,
no,
if it was.
Right? Sorry, it's not normally like that. Well, hi everybody. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and no, it's not normally like that. Anyway, Mary, here we are. We spent a long time at the Highland Games in New Hampshire, and we are recording this the next day after we get home. So if my voice is a little hoarse, it's because I did a lot of screaming and yelling and hooting and hollering while we were at the Highland Games, and it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And not feeling so well today. But we're, you know what? We're always committed to Potter. We're always ready to go. And that's that. Today we are talking about the Sorting Hat's new song, which, Mary, I got to tell you, it's an interesting chapter.
It is an interesting chapter. And, you know, we, as Blake just said, we just came home from the New Hampshire Highland Games. We had this really long ride home. And so Blake and I re-listened to this chapter together. And you laughed so many times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, like, many people may find this chapter a bit boring. You know, it's like a long song and Umbridge speaks. But it's a good one.
Well, because you are Book Ron. Like, there's just no way around it. That's what makes me laugh about all of it.
Oh.
You know, with
he's not always, I mean, I'm just Gryffindor through and through, for sure.
100%. You know, just like the way that, you know, he was like obscenely eating potatoes. Like,
I love mashed potatoes. I actually, today, that's what I did. I should have added on this sweatshirt, instead of it saying Pumpkins, Potions, Polyjuice, Potter, it should also say potatoes. Because that would be all the happy peas that I would like.
Oh, man. All right.
All right. So here we are. We're in chapter 11 of the Order of the Phoenix. And the bit that I have right here is the end of the Sorting Hat's new song. Still I wonder whether sorting may not bring the end I fear. Oh, know the perils, read the signs, the warnings history shows. For our Hogwarts is in danger from external deadly foes. And we must unite inside her, or we'll crumble from within. I have told you. I have warned you. Let the sorting now begin.
Yeah, Marvin, we got some stuff to talk about with this whole chapter. One of the things that I definitely want to talk about is the founders and the author giving us a little bit more context to the founders and how it all came about. And my sense is we kind of have some things mixed up here a little bit. And I need to know the opinion of a true professional Potterhead.
I wouldn't say professional Potter.
Well, no, you are. That. You are. I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. All right. You ready to get into the show?
I sure am.
Let's do it.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Thank you.
right. So, kicking things off here in this chapter, while our puppy Butterbeer runs amok in the studio. She is not as graceful as Lumos.
Definitely
not. That is
not.
For sure. Oh my gosh, where's Lumos?
She's a bull in a china
her?
Shop.
Oh my, she really is. Oh, goodness me. She's 1 year old though, so happy birthday, Butterbeer.
So if you're watching this live, just know that there's
know
a
that
dog
we're dealing
right
with
here.
Absolute chaos. Apologies. So I just wanted to kick things off because, of course, we left at the last chapter, a chapter of Harry seeing the Thestrals and being told by Luna Lovegood, you're just as sane as I am.
Yeah.
And he decides, I'm going to keep this to myself.
Would you have kept it to yourself?
At that point, yes.
Really? How come?
Because he's embarrassed right now.
Sure.
Just like, you know. I wouldn't want to fart in front of a friend. Like, there's some things that are embarrassing, even with your closest friends.
I wouldn't really liken seeing Thestrals to fart in front of your friend.
I don't know. I mean, think about it. Harry had done the whole parcel tongue thing, and nobody else could really do that, and that didn't turn out so well.
That was not a great experience.
So I appreciate that he's saying, you know what? I'm going to sit on this one.
I'm going to sit on this spot.
Yeah. So I appreciate that for him. Butterbeer wants.
If you're watching
Lumos.
This.
She wants to be on camera.
If you're watching this, Butterbeer's face is right in Mary's camera.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, man. If you're not watching it and you're just listening out of the podcast app, you got to go check it out on YouTube.
Oh my goodness. All right, so the kids all go inside Hogwarts, and it's of course the first day. It's September 1st still, the day that they arrived to Hogwarts. And Sorting Hat comes on out, but they're noticing of course that Hagrid hasn't arrived yet and Grubbly Plank is here. Mm-hmm. Mixed reviews going on at this, and this is when Luna ends up saying, "Oh, you know, us Ravenclaws aren't too happy with Hagrid as a teacher in general."
Yeah, it's kind of a joke.
Yes.
I got to give Luna a little credit here for just coming out with it and just saying, yeah, nah, Hagrid kind of sucks. Because as a teacher, like, all right, let's just make a distinction. As a person, Hagrid is awesome. As a teacher, though, is he really that good? Is he really that effective?
I don't know. I mean, the Nifflers were fun. The Blast into Scroots, not so much.
Yeah, that didn't work out so much.
Hippogriffs could have been cool.
It, but some kid got hurt.
Well, that's his own dang fault.
I agree, but the fact that Hagrid
you
couldn't command...
You sign a waiver when you go to Hogwarts, okay?
Hagrid couldn't command the classroom, and somebody got hurt.
I think that Hagrid would be someone who would definitely benefit from having a curriculum that he could maybe co-create maybe over the summer. He could meet up with Flitwick because, you know, Flitwick loves writing curriculums.
He could use the Engage NY curriculum.
My gosh, we just came from a teacher back to school night, and it's so cute because all the teachers on their open house night, they do these presentations and they go through, oh, and this is the curriculum we're using, and this is this, and this is that. And they're so proud of these decisions and these things, and it means nothing. It's like saying Grubbly Plank to a muggle, okay?
Like, they'd be like, wait, what?
I'm like, yes, Wonders curriculum. We're back at Wonders. Wonderful.
Sure.
Wonderful
great.
For Wonders.
That sounds spectacular. Wonders.
Oh my gosh.
The wonder of it all.
So it is interesting too. So all of the Gryffindors, aside from Hermione, jump up and they're like, he's amazing.
Yes.
Shut your trap, you know?
Yeah.
Takes Hermione a little bit. And she warms up to it.
It makes you wonder if Hermione's
Hermione doesn't think he's a great teacher.
No, I know, but it just makes you wonder if Hermione really should have been placed in Ravenclaw. Just a little bit. Just the way that she has
well, we've
held
said
herself.
That of the trio, Harry's like the most that could also have gone into Slytherin, obviously.
Yep.
And Hermione, yes, would go partially head. Like people, they're very rarely, I bet, are people like 100% Gryffindor. Mm-hmm. So I
yep.
get it.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, but Luna in here is great. And it also begs the question, does she recognize like these social norms, right? Like where it's like this guy clearly is away for a particular reason and obviously the people around you are displaying a certain liking to him. And she still comes out and says, yeah, he sucks.
I don't think that they were showing a certain liking. All it is Ginny saying, did everyone see that grubbly plank woman? What's she doing back here? Hagrid can't have left, can he? And then Luna goes right in and says, I'll be quite glad if he has. He wasn't a very good teacher. So I don't think that it was like in her face that this is somebody's buddy.
Yeah.
And I don't know how often the Ravenclaws have class with their Gryffindors. I don't know how aware Luna is of the extra time that the trio hangs out with Hagrid. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know for myself, there have been some bad teachers. And if I were to be sitting down being like, oh my God, they're gone. Like my seventh grade math teacher was so mean and wretched. And seventh grade math.
It's not easy.
It was my first middle school experience. We didn't have sixth grade as middle school. We had junior high. So this was my like first junior high experience. And she was cutthroat and mean and was just no desire to get to know any of the students.
Yep. I had a teacher like that, Miss Lacey.
Oh man, I don't even remember this lady's name. I like blocked her out of my head, aside from the fact that she's one of my least favorite teachers of all time. But she wasn't good at helping us learn these new concepts.
She was a math teacher too, Miss Lacey.
I got a B.
I think we got like a...
I got a B.
All right, math teachers, be nice to your kids, will you?
Be nice. Please. And it was heartbreaking. So if this was my teacher that I didn't think was good... Mm-hmm. I mean, because here's the other thing. Okay, so Hagrid's nice. Let's say Hagrid's nice, but a bad teacher.
Yes.
Have you had any of those?
Nice, but a bad teacher. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I've had that.
All right. And so would you have been sad if they didn't come back?
Yeah, because it was a nice person.
Oh, but they were your friend.
Well, I mean, they weren't like my friend, but like they were a nice person. They cared. They wanted to do the right thing.
I had a history teacher who kind of looked like Hagrid. He was one of the football coaches.
Okay.
He was friends with a lot of the students in the class because they played football. Wasn't my friend. I was in the marching band. He should have been friendly with me. I'm there cheering you on, man. But anyway, he stunk. He would just sit in his spinny chair. He wouldn't even have the energy to go stand up and write on the board. He would just dictate to us and we had to write notes the whole time about history. And I was, you know, the Luna in me knew that guy sucked. That they just kept him around because he was the one that could coach the football.
Sure.
Okay. And he would just sit there. Okay. And then this happened. Everybody got your pens. Let's go. And that was it.
I had a history teacher who, very much like you, Mary, was the varsity coach for football.
Yes.
And just, I'm sure at some point he cared about history. He was a young dude. I'd probably say in his late 20s, maybe early 30s. And all he would do, it was just like take notes like that maybe he got from, you know, online, or actually even then online wasn't really even a thing. But like he would have notes, and then
maybe from his high school class.
Yeah, and he would write the notes up on the chalkboard.
Yeah,
and then he'd be like, "Okay, take these notes," and we would we would take notes from his notes.
So that I think is what Luna's getting at. Luna's like, "This is my version of what Hagrid is."
Yeah. Fair.
Okay, so that's all Luna's getting at.
But you have to know.
No.
Like, you know,
she
doesn't.
They sneak out when they get to Hagrid's house and they're doing their nighttime naughty
stuff.
She has
to know that they're hanging out with Hagrid.
Luna, you think Luna cares?
No.
She is too busy with her upside down
rooms. Difference between caring and knowing.
You think that she knows? The answer is no.
I think there has to be, if she is like relatively buddies of theirs. Or is at least, well.
She's not their buddy.
Well. But word gets around. Word gets around. You can't tell me that it doesn't.
I mean,
Potter hanging out with Hagrid again. Oh yeah, Hagrid's
I think
out
only
there.
If people like have a crush on Harry or they have that much interest, you're talking about
she may or may not have a crush on Ron at this point.
At this point, he makes her laugh.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think so. I'm saying we've talked way too long about teachers. I'm here saying I'm giving a little bit of respect for Luna Lovegood, because I have definitely had teachers in the past that I have judged and would not have missed academically, who were probably very nice people, probably terrible bakers as well, and made bad rock cakes. I don't know. So I'm just here for all the Lunas in the world who've had that feeling that they don't like every teacher they've ever had. We're not wishing you ill. She's not saying, I hope he fell. I hope he got eaten by that blast-ended screw.
Snapped an ankle, you know?
Yeah. And then, of course, they're wondering, okay, is he still on his mission? And then they see Umbridge.
Yeah, man. I really liked this whole... The way that the author constructed this entire sequence mm-hmm. is spectacular. In every way.
Okay.
Because right off the jump... Hermione is smart enough to know this, and my sense is that this was the author's way of telling you, everything you need to know about Umbridge is right here.
Especially that Ron does not like her cardigan.
Yeah. Actually, you know, Mary and I were talking about this yesterday as we were listening, and I was saying, you know, it's when you go through something with your friends, it's different than when you're older and you're not with a group of friends, or if you're at work and, you know, like, you can be friendly and maybe you are friends with people at work.
But, like, good friends, like, you could fart in front of your friend.
Yeah.
And laugh. Okay, that
and
is the trio.
They'd be able to tell what you ate yesterday.
That is the trio. Like, sit in pajamas, have some Polyjuice, Potter.
Farting.
Popcorn. You know Ron's the one.
Of course he is.
But, like, that's the level of friends that you often have in your schooling years.
Yes. Yeah.
And rarely do you get that with coworkers in your adulting years. So we bairns, friends who are still in school or college,
yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, hold on tight, Spider-Monkey.
Hold on to those little moments.
Because those are important. I had incredible friends when I was in high school. We went through a lot of different things together. You know, there are, you know, for those of you who are going to college and you feel like, oh, I'm going to miss my friends from high school and it's never going to be the same. I promise you, your friendships in college will surpass those in high school because there are just things that happen in college that are just different, and you all go through it together and it's amazing. But what I'm saying is, when Ron's like, yeah, nice cardigan, I love that little line, because only a group of friends who get each other, understand each other, know each other's moves, you can say that and feel safe in saying it.
You're not going to offend somebody. You're not going to be sitting next to, like, you know, even at this point, Lavender Brown. If he said that while he was sitting next to Lavender Brown, he doesn't know. Maybe her mom is the same one. Maybe she actually likes the cardigan. Like, you don't know each other's humor and way that you can do that. So I do. I agree. You get that nice little friend banter.
Yeah, it's great. And even Hermione being able to pick up on all the things that Ron and Harry just, like, what is that? You know, mm-hmm. It's just nothing. And really, Umbridge is saying nothing the whole time. Oh, keep what is great and let go of what is not. But if you read the subtext, you see what she's saying by not saying it, then there's a whole lot there to unpack. And Hermione's 100% right. My question to you, Mary, is how in God's name could Dumbledore allow someone from the ministry to be on that staff?
Well,
knowing the kind of person that she is.
Yeah.
How could we allow that in the school?
So I didn't know this either when I first read this book. I first read this book. Okay, when did this one come out? Was this 2001?
This is what, 03?
I'm flipping.
I'm going to say 03.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I wouldn't say that late. Anyway, I wasn't yet a teacher when this book came out. I was still a student myself. Oh my God, the dog. You are right, Blake. 03.
Oh, yes.
03, all nice.
Right. I will take it.
Good job. Bam. So I was still in college. And do you want to go get that puppy?
Sure.
I was still in college, and I was only seeing things from a student's perspective. And this is something that's really neat for those of us who read Harry Potter or are reading Harry Potter in our younger years and then reading it as an older person. So I read this as a student. I felt the same way. Why would Dumbledore do this? How is this allowed? And then I started to work in public schools. And there is some stuff that you have to do or things you have to put up with, whether it's from the district or the, you know, all these different, there's all this stuff
sure.
that happens. I mean, even state testing alone, which is proven to just stress kids out, not necessarily help with anything, like even just, you know, those kind of things. Sometimes you got to do what the man tells you to do.
Yeah, but
and this is
Dumbledore has widely told and very openly told the ministry, right, to go pound sand on multiple levels.
But also, Dumbledore's in a bit of hot water right now. Okay, so he's been let go of two major positions.
Yes.
The Daily Prophet is writing all kinds of stuff. Lord knows how many parents pulled their kids out. I mean, Seamus Finnegan almost didn't go back, but I'm wondering how much of the student population actually didn't come back due to everything that's been happening. And then also, a kid did just die. So the government could have put their foot down and said, listen, we're not going to shut the school down, but this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, but Dumbledore himself
just died.
Dumbledore himself has said that the ministry has no jurisdiction over Hogwarts.
Correct. But what? But I think that this was then their happy medium. Okay, but we would like to have a presence, and we do understand that, you know, we've had also all these teachers that have been bananas. You had a werewolf. You had not even they just had faux moody for a year. I think as a parent, if I knew that, because I don't really know how much that has come out, faux moody.
Good point.
You know, as a parent, having a werewolf one year, having like Voldemort live in the back of your head, Quirrell, they don't know that, but Quirrell's gone, obviously. Then they had Gilderoy Lockhart, who's now in the cuckoo closet, you know, like goodbye. He went to St. Mungo's. Gilderoy Lockhart alone. Like, one of the most famous wizards of their age. You know, almost all the moms love him. All they know is he went to Hogwarts and he didn't come out. He's in St. Mungo's. So they have...
Quirrell didn't come back.
Quirrell didn't come back at all. He blew up. Okay? They don't know what happened to him, but he was kind of a nobody.
Yeah.
Gilderoy Lockhart went to teach at Hogwarts, is now in St. Mungo's.
So third one is not a good look.
Third one was a werewolf. Fourth one, if they knew the truth, would not be good. And even the lie, not good. You don't want Alistair Moody teaching your kids. So honestly, and then a kid died. I feel like they had the right to pull their weight a little bit and say, I think we need to step in just a little bit.
Hogwarts.
There's an opening. There's a job opening. Like Dumbledore had in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Would anyone like to be the, you know, professor? And nobody applied.
Yeah. Our latest success rate has been about zero.
Yes. And he was thinking maybe Harry Potter can.
Oh, maybe. Man. Hogwarts, I will say, by this point, has taken a few L's, okay?
Yeah. Like, and we've talked before, is there admission, you know, is there money, or is it publicly funded? And if so, does the government now have the right to pull back?
Yeah, if it is publicly funded, then yes, the government certainly has a right to pull back.
That's what I'm thinking, because you don't hear about admissions costs. You don't hear about tuition.
Yeah, however, my sense, though, is because Dumbledore has said that the ministry has no jurisdiction over Hogwarts. To me, that seems like it's a private institution. And if it is a private institution, and what we can gather is that there is some sort of money involved, because when Harry is, you know, when he's a first year and he's getting himself ready to go to Hogwarts, he's like, but Hagrid, how am I to pay for any of this? I haven't any money. And Hagrid says, well, your parents, you think they would leave you alone? You know, they'd leave you with no money? My sense is that there is some kind of monetary transaction for admissions, and certainly, obviously, for the books and for all the quills and everything that goes along with it, right? I'm sure that there has to be some kind of room and board. And like I said, Mary, like Harry's like, how am I to pay for all this? Yeah. I haven't any money.
No.
But so there must be some sort of...
Yeah. Dumbledore could talk all he wants, but the government definitely has a little something. A
little bit of juice.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. But regardless of all of that, Mary, I do think that this introduction... What?
I love what we find interesting in this chapter. You cannot wait to get into the Sorting House song history. That is the most boring part. I skim through it. I'm like, I know. Shut up. And then I skim through what Dolores says. I know. Shut up. I get to the fight. Okay? I get to the fight at the end. Oh, don't you have a go at my ma. I'll have a go at anybody. I'm like, yes! This is like football to me. This is my sporting thing. I like the beginning when they're missing Hagrid, and I like the end when they're about to get into a fight.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And Harry's so mad. Seamus is so mad, and Dean's like, my parents are muggles, man. I'm just here for the magical food.
Well, you know, there's also something to be said here, Mary, because we talked about how much truth has gotten out and how much of these stories have gotten out to everybody.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if, you know, I don't think Hogwarts is sending letters home, right? Because if they did, Dean wouldn't be able to say, do you think I'm stupid enough to tell my mother that Voldemort, this mass murderer, is around? Like, he actively says, I didn't say anything to anybody, and that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, how many emails are sending out?
Exactly. Dumbledore did not send owls to everybody. Really sorry. You may want to get your kids into therapy this summer. A kid just died. But on the flip side, it was the Triwizard Tournament. It was like a global thing. So I think obviously everyone knows Cedric is dead. They have the whole mourning thing for him. But Voldemort being the reason, I don't know if an owl went sent out with that.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay. Let's get into the history and the song, your favorite part.
Well, I just want to talk about Umbridge here.
I thought we were going to talk about the Sorting Head song.
Well, no, I want to talk about Umbridge a little bit.
Okay.
Umbridge in this
chapter
is scary. And it's not overt. It's not in your face scary. It's the kind of scary that if you see it, then you should be terrified.
It gives me the scaries that you would get once again in middle school, junior high, or high school, or college on your first day of class.
Yeah.
And there's that teacher who doesn't even smile. Because some teachers are taught not to smile for like their first month or two.
Really?
Yeah. Because you want to establish, especially if you're like a younger teacher.
Alpha.
You have to go alpha. So you have to maintain, like you have to go in really, really strict. And you have to show your guideline, you know, your rules and all this stuff. And I remember being given that advice.
Wow, and I'm like, interesting.
Because I was closer age to my students than I was my coworkers.
Sure.
That's really weird when you go out and you teach high school.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that, like, even though I've never been a teacher.
5 years older than you.
But yeah, it's a weird thing to, I think, experience, right?
Yeah,
especially when you're a brand new teacher.
And so I did not take this approach, but there are definitely teachers that are either just mean and bad to the bone or who have been given this advice and they come in and they scare you. It is like, just so you know, the way that things were in elementary school, it's done. No more recess.
Yeah. Oh,
no more
point.
Fun. Okay? We don't do that here. We don't have, no, there's no snacks. Okay? You better eat a good breakfast and get a good night's sleep because if I see anyone sneak a bit of food in here, you're done. You know? Those people, because I was the snack eater.
Oh, you definitely were a snack eater.
In case my Ron isn't showing through enough.
Sitting over there eating potatoes in an obscene manner, probably.
My thing was dry cereal. I put it in a bag and I'd munch on it. No, I was quiet.
You can't be quiet with dry cereal.
I can. It's
impossible.
You're the one that has the cavernous head that echoes with every chew. I was quiet.
So Umbridge is the person here that you need to be scared of. And not because we know what's coming, right? Like, obviously, we know what's coming. That is, in and of itself, very scary. But when you're first reading this chapter, she's the kind of person that's quiet scary.
I had no idea when I first read it.
Really?
I mean, granted,
I knew right off the jump when I first read this book that this woman, no good. Or even in the movie, when I first saw the movie, no good.
I don't know. I think I'd been taught that appearances are deceiving in the past couple of books, whether it was Lupin or Sirius or Moody. And so I feel like the past couple of books have been teaching me don't judge a book by its cover.
But it's more.
And all she's doing is hem and wearing lots of pink and looking like a mean aunt. And then we had Mrs. Fig, who's kind of like a weird looking aunt in her slippers, who turns out to be really good. So I did not have a preconceived notion about this woman.
But it's more about her
her words and her actions.
Yeah, see, I glossed through that. I was too busy.
No,
eating mashed
you
potatoes.
Wouldn't say. her words and actions, and even if you're paying attention and you're reading the reactions from other professors, like especially the one that McGonagall gives, where her lips get so tight you can't see them.
That those are. I just thought she was uptight.
Those are really important things, and it's the way that she categorizes progress, but progress for the sake of progress is, you know, we shouldn't have that. That is an extraordinarily scary sentence, because progress in and of itself is progression, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't have progress. I mean, I suppose you could have progress for the sake of progress.
It was just so boring for me to read, Blake. Ready? So this is
okay,
honestly,
Ron. Like, I understand.
I'm going to read it the way that my brain has it. Just the second part. Every headmaster and headmistress of Hogwarts has brought something new to this weighty task of governing this historic school. And that is as it should be, for without progress there would be stagnation and decay. Once again, progress, for progress' sake, must be discouraged, for our tried and tested traditions often require no tinkering. A balance, then, between old and new, between permanence and change, between tradition and innovation. Okay? Boring.
This is all by design,
I just
Mary.
Had to read the whole flippin' Sorting Hat song, which was 2 pages long, and now we've got ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I was like, done. You're boring. You're boring.
It's the whole, that's by design, Mary.
I know. That's why I'm saying, when you read it as a grown adult, you were like, right away, oh my goodness, look at these special words. And I'm like, this woman's boring. She wears pink, looks like a toad. Check. Hermione's nervous. Okay.
Well, the other thing that she says, too, is that anything that goes against, you know, tradition and the way that things were, that in and of itself is scary too.
Like, I like this. Let us move forward then into a new era of openness, effectiveness, accountability, intent on preserving what ought to be reserved, perfecting what needs to be perfected, and pruning whatever fine practices that ought to be prohibited. I gotta tell you, I hear that, I don't have a problem.
It's the fine art of saying nothing. It's like, let's keep what's great, let's get rid of what sucks, but you know, We need to have progress, but we can't have too much progress.
That sounds like my self-reflecting journal.
Oh my God. Like,
this is what I'm telling myself. What can I perfect?
It's the perfect politician. And again, it's the art of saying nothing. You say one thing and then immediately counteract it.
I don't think what she says is bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
I don't think saying preserving what ought to be preserved. I mean, think about it even just in regards to what's in your fridge, okay? Think about what's in your fridge right now. Preserve what ought to be preserved. Cool. Perfect what needs to be perfected, okay? Prune whatever we find that needs to be prohibited, like the moldy stuff.
Yeah, but who
makes sense?
Who decides what's prohibited?
Well, that's the big question.
Well, I'm saying... It says it right there in the text.
No, she doesn't say what I find.
But again, you have to read the subtext.
I didn't
read
it.
Read between the lines.
Every time I've read it.
No,
well, the first time I read it,
between
the
lines, Mom.
There was nothing to... I'm reading every line.
No,
I'm telling you.
Between the lines.
I'm telling you.
Text.
The first time when 22-year-old Mary read this... Was I 22 then? Was I 21? How old was I?
You're 21. 21.
Yes, 21. When 21-year-old Mary read this...
What are you talking... When 41-year-old Mary read this, she still said the same thing.
I still think it's fine. You know, if Sprout said something even like this. Okay, guys, you know, let's look at our mandrakes. Let's save the ones that should be saved. Let's chuck the ones that got moldy. And the ones that look like they, you know, could do something, let's give them a bigger pot.
But you also have to understand that this person comes from the government.
I know. I didn't know then to not trust the government.
Well, it's not that you can't trust the government. It's that what she's saying is that implicit in all of the things is that, and in her actions, notice how she gets up, automatically just interrupts Dumbledore and says the things that she says without a recognition, saying that, oh, traditions must be preserved. Yet at the same time, she is the one breaking tradition by...
She gives a little bow.
Yeah, but she is the one saying...
The treasure trove of magical knowledge to mass by our ancestors must be guarded, replenished, polished. I would fall asleep in this. I fell asleep reading it.
I read every ounce of that, and I'm and like red flags, alarms.
Woke me up with Seamus, okay? Bring it.
Those are that's rhetoric you hear from people that are...
I didn't know that.
Oh, man.
At 21, I didn't know that.
Oh, man. See, that's why, that's the benefit of getting a history degree, I suppose. So, fine, we'll move on from Umbridge. I think this is the author setting her up in a perfect way.
As an adult now, I understand.
And I think that you get everything you need to know about her right away, instantly. And... I still, like, it's shocking to me that she would interrupt Dumbledore in his opening statement when nobody says a word and she feels like she has the right. And it's not just like, oh, thank you, Dumbledore. I appreciate it. Hey, love being here. Can't wait to get to teach all of you. This is so exciting. She's making a full diatribe about what to do, how to do it, when to do it, if to do it, and she should be the one to do it.
Maybe no one told her.
It is scary.
Maybe no one told her you don't do that. Just like nobody told me that people weren't clapping for me when I went to the coffee shop this weekend. Blake and I and our family walked into a coffee shop and everyone looked at us and clapped.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
They all clapped and I was like, oh, and I started to clap back at them.
Thank you.
I just thought these people are happy. They're caffeinated. They're in New Hampshire. They've got great air. Like, they must just clap whenever anybody else comes in here.
Hey, welcome.
It was a thrift shop and a coffee shop
come
in
get
one.
Coffee.
And an outfit secondhand. I was like, these are people who believe in reduce, reuse, recycle, and they have good coffee. And they were so happy we came in. And it was after we entered that I saw next to the door was a guitar player who had just finished a song. They were clapping for the musician, not for us entering the building. No, not. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe she didn't know how to read a room like I couldn't.
No way.
Oh, yay.
Thank you for clapping for me. Can I get a mocha? All right, let's move on to the Sorting Hat here. And
I thought we dodged it.
What I do want to talk about in the Sorting Hat is this. Everyone always says, oh, yeah, Slytherin left. He got pissy and decided he wasn't going to be there no more. And everything was great after that. The way that the Sorting Hat says this.
Who is this that you think says that?
The Harry Potter fandom.
No, I think
Rit
this is
Lodge.
Your mind.
No,
because
no,
as a Slytherin,
no,
you're
no.
like, we've been done dirty.
No. Everybody talks about how Slytherin was pissy and he left and then everybody got along afterwards.
Where do you find these everybody people that have this conversation?
The Harry Potter community writ large. That's who. Okay? What the thing is here is that the Sorting Hat isn't saying, oh, well, Slytherin left and everybody was cool. It was, oh, no. Everybody was fighting. And he particularly called out specific combinations of Gryffindor, Slytherin, Hufflepuff, and Ravenclaw. Nobody was getting along. And then once Slytherin was like, dude, had enough, I'm out. Finally, they all kind of saw the error in their ways and got along. I just think that Slytherin is just getting a little bit, he's getting the shaft here. A little bit. You can't tell me that Slytherin has not gotten the shaft on the oral history of what's happened.
I don't think so.
How can you say that?
I mean, I think he gets what he deserves, saying you're only going to take pureblood wizards. What the hell's wrong with
you? Well, what about Gryffindor? I'm only going to take brave people. Well, what about the introverts and the people that...
But introverts are brave, too.
Yeah, but what about the people that aren't brave? Are you saying they don't deserve an education?
No. In my mind, what happened is Slytherin is saying, we're taking only the purebloods. That's
what the school... But it wasn't just purebloods.
Yes.
But it wasn't just pure bloods.
We'll teach those whose that were answers cunning. Is purest. That's yes. what he said. That is the line.
That's
we'll
the
teach
baseline.
Those whose answer is purest. Yes. Then a second line, Blake, just to prove my point. For instance, Slytherin took only pure blood wizards. You're welcome, Blake.
No, what I mean is...
You're welcome.
But Gryffindor has only taken brave kids. And Ravenclaw has only taken the super smart kids. And then... The book, the hat,
I'll
literally
teach the
says,
law and treat them yeah, just the same.
Everybody else, all
no,
you other Jamokes.
They said, I'll teach the lot, which means everyone, not leftovers. And even if they
no,
were
no,
leftovers.
No, no, no,
no.
Later
I'll
on.
I'll teach the lot, and I'll treat them just the same. Hufflepuff is saying, I will teach everyone.
No, later
and treat
on.
Them,
later on.
Wait,
the,
I'm using book
later
evidence.
On the book. Later on in the song, the hat said, yes. Oh, she'll teach everybody else.
Yes, she took the rest.
Yeah, the rest. So they got split up into three things, and then the rest were just Hufflepuff.
Yeah, and they were probably the most beautiful, wonderful, kind
so
people
all
ever.
I'm saying here is, yes.
Hufflepuff just wanted to teach, man.
Yes, I understand that it's not a great look from Slytherin that he's taking pure blood.
No, it's
only.
Not, Blake.
But at the time,
facts.
At the time... Probably most people were pure bloods at the time. At the time.
No.
Thousands of years ago.
Blake, chill out, okay? This is fiction. We got this to work off of. What is the point that you're trying to do with this song?
The point that I'm trying to make is Slytherin's gotten the shaft here.
No, it
Everybody
hasn't.
Said
you
that
just
it's Slytherin's fault, that whatever.
No, we're saying Slytherin's... Okay, you need to move on because you don't, you know, for as much as you read Umbridge's stuff bit by bit, you did not reading the Sword and Hat song.
I did read it. I was the one who called it out that Hufflepuff taught the rest of the Jamokes.
Because she was willing to teach everyone. Yes. Oh my gosh.
None of them got along.
Mr. Filch has asked for what he tells me the 462nd time. To remind you that all magic is not permitted in corridors between classes, nor are a number of other things, all of which can be checked on the extensive list now fastened to Mr. Filch's office door.
Wait, hold
I'm
on.
This
wait,
out.
We can't
I'm
go
shifting.
Past.
I'm
no,
done
we can't
with
do
you.
It because I got
oh
some more questions. I got
oh,
some more questions.
Jeez Louise.
All right. How much of.
Okay, just so you know, Slytherin left first.
I know. That's the point.
Because he pouted.
Because he was like, dude, I'm tired of this. We can't all keep fighting. I'm done. I'm going to do my own thing. You know what? You leave a toxic.
By the way, I'll leave a basilisk for you in the basement.
Wait, what is what are
a
they?
A basilisk.
A basilisk. you leave a toxic work environment. That's a good thing. He was emotionally aware enough to say this is toxicity at its prime.
No, he was toxic, and everyone was telling him that.
This is what I'm telling you. See, you just said it. He was not toxic. The whole environment was toxic.
I really don't want to talk about this song anymore.
Well, how much sentience does the hat have, right? That's a good question, number one. All right, fine. We'll move on.
At least get me some potatoes if I have to deal with this.
That's fine. Okay, we'll talk about what you want to talk about.
No.
It's okay. It's fine.
What do you want to know? It lives in Dumbledore's office. They have this conversation with Nearly Headless Nick. It listens to stuff all year long. This is its moment to shine. So it probably knows a lot.
But it does say also, too, that sorting kids is wrong.
He says, I don't like sorting.
Right.
Yeah.
Because everyone should stand united. Yet, yes. At the same time, they still continue to sort kids.
Yeah.
Why? Because if it was intended to be unified as one school... The entire time.
I think honestly, like, it's easy to sort people up. You can't have everybody sleep in the same room, so you need to break them up anyway. When you go to camp, when you go to school, you're put into different classes. So I think that it's fun. There's tradition to it.
Yes.
Okay. So okay, you're earning points. Like it's I think for him, everyone should just be a version of Hufflepuff. Okay. You get in what you get in, just let's divvy them up evenly because Lord knows what happens if you have too many Ravenclaws in one year. Then do you shuffle them around or do you just shove some people who are supposed to be Ravenclaws into Slytherin and call it a day?
It should just be unified. And,
yes.
And since the hat has been around
yes.
since the Founders Day,
yes.
And this is why you have to call into question the sentience of the hat.
Yeah, he's
right?
saying that
is
we
he just,
shouldn't do this.
Is he just taking words from Dumbledore? Or does he actually have the hat?
Yeah.
Actually have an awareness of the situation and be able to make the decision outside of just sorting kids because
yes.
of their traits.
Yes.
Okay. And if that's the case, and since he's been around for so long, you would think that the hat would have a pretty good say in how the school is run.
No, right? Probably only gets to speak on this one day.
That's and then the problem.
When Harry comes and checks
out. And what I'm trying to say is this hat's out there and he's being held back. He's trying
he's
to give
held
school.
Back by Dumbledore.
And he's trying to give the school the goods here and say, stop doing this,
you know,
because this wasn't the intent.
Maybe he has some good things, but I feel like he's a jibber jabber. You know, talks all the time, and Dumbledore has to tell him, listen, buddy, I'm going to put a spell on you. You can only talk once a year. Because, you know all he does is talk about Virgin River. Oh, my God, have you seen it? Did you see what happened to Mel? What do you think? What do you think is going to happen? Is there going to be a baby? What's going to happen? Dumbledore. And Dumbledore's like,
oh, my God.
I'm done.
Who's got a clonazepam?
Silencio.
Fine.
So,
fair enough.
Let's get to the fight.
Yeah. All right. So we have the fight here. And like, to be honest, this is the least important thing to me.
Oh my God. Oh, my favorite bit.
All right. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is such a great moment for Ron.
No.
Seamus coming in and just being upset. I almost didn't come here. It's because of you. Just tell us the truth, Harry Potter. You know why? Because.
Oh, yep. I got you. Hold on.
I'm Harry freaking Potter.
And I kind of appreciate Seamus and Dean wanting to know, and Neville wanting to know what happened. Like, you have been our bunkmates. You have been in our room for the past 4 years.
Sure.
We spend at least 180 days in the same room with you, in the same classes. We hear your farts. Okay, we're fart level friends.
Fart level friends.
Why do you not tell us what happened in the labyrinth?
Oh,
come on, just tell us. So I feel slightly bad for Seamus and Dean, who probably are scared. You know, a lot of people act cruelly and judge and are quick to make bad decisions when they're scared. Not that Dean is making bad decisions, but I'm saying Seamus and Seamus's mom.
Definitely making
so
support decisions.
I think Seamus came home and cried. Mom, something happened.
Some kid got killed.
He was the coolest kid in the school. I wanted to be him when I grow up. Like, it was Cedric Diggory. His mom's like, get out.
Oh, he's the Hufflepuff, though. Don't worry about it.
No. I feel like Seamus's mom, you know, they love Quidditch. They love all this stuff. They would have been friends with the Diggorys.
Seamus's mother.
Oh, my gosh.
She's the one that reads one article on the internet and then declares herself an expert. Like, she reads the flat Earth theory and's like, hey, Earth is flat, man. I watched a YouTube
video.
So
I just feel so bad because I think that Seamus went home scared. I think behind, like, every bad action, particularly in children, I think behind almost every bad action in children is because of like fear or unknowing or trauma. Like, you need to give, especially youngsters, the benefit of the doubt. I think Seamus is really scared. He's trying to tell Harry, can you please tell me the truth? Because if you're saying that the Daily Prophet and my mom are wrong, then what is right, Harry? And Harry's like, I'm scared too. So I'm going to raise my voice. And shame on your mom. You can't even make a mom joke at me because my mom's dead. Bring it. And that's when Ron comes in. And he throws it down. I'm going to give you detention if you pick on my best friend because I'm a prefect. And I was like, yes, way to go. Way to go, man. Neville stands up saying, my mom thinks that it's garbage.
My gran.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Rest in peace. Well, his mom's not dead, but you know.
Yeah.
She's hanging out with Gilderoy. So I'm happy that Neville gets to have his kind of hero moment here, too. Standing on up saying, you know, we stick with Dumbledore. And I love how mad Harry gets.
The awesome thing that the author does here is she continues this isolation for Harry. Mm-hmm. You know, we not only are
your
we getting,
friends aren't even your friends anymore.
Like, not only is Dumbledore not talking to you, your fat friends are
otherwise known as roommates.
Your fat friends are prefects, and you've now been taken away from that.
Yeah,
and then your other fat friends are questioning you. Mm-hmm. And you are just left completely alone to your own devices, looking at little children and saying, I could never be that young.
And this is when Dumbledore could have stepped up and realized Harry's going to be asked all these questions. He is going to be asked by his classmates, what happened?
Sure.
Can you better prepare Harry? Even if it's a little note, send him to the nurse so she can say, here's how we talk about things. Maybe have a meeting with classmates, and if you have any questions about death or what happened last year, go see Madame Pomfrey or something.
Sure.
But, like, that's a lot of pressure to put on this kid. Oh, and we're just going to have him explain it. Because obviously people have questions, and they're going to continue to have questions, and it has to land on this poor child.
And that's why I think this chapter is so critical to the rest of this story, right? Because... Yes. The author is setting the story up here, and it's a perfect microcosm of what's happening at large, right? Harry is isolated. People are not believing him. His friends are trying to help, but it's all kind of in vain. Dumbledore is off doing his own thing on his own planet, and everything, even the very nature of Hogwarts itself, like, it's not a coincidence, in my opinion, that the hat does say what it says. That, like, I don't think we should be sorting these kids. Like, the nature of what the hat is saying is Hogwarts itself is wrong. Hogwarts itself
is in danger.
Well, no, but it's inherently and fundamentally wrong. Its practices right now, right? So
a big general statement.
I don't think so, because if the hat is saying.
He's saying, let's stop fighting with each other. There's people who are going to be fighting us, so let's.
Right. We should stop being divided, right? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, that means they should no longer divide children into houses based upon these traits that were set forth by these teachers who couldn't get along to begin with. And they separated themselves in order to get along, right? So the fundamental nature, according to the hat, I'm not saying it's right, but according to the hat, the fundamental nature of Hogwarts of itself is that it's wrong. And again, it's all pitting Harry against all of this, and that's why the author is doing a spectacular job for this chapter and for the book as of this point. It's one of the reasons why it's my favorite book. It's masterfully told.
It is.
All right, you got anything else you want to say about this?
No.
You want to do a different perspective?
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
Holy cricket! You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger, and. You are?
Ginny Weasley.
Ginny! Haven't seen you in a while, girlfriend.
Oh, I know. As soon as I got in, peace out, old people. I'm gonna go hang out with my real friends.
I know. You don't want to be hanging around with your parents or even Harry Potter. Like, that kid's weird, right? No,
I mean, he's got something special about him, okay? He's going through a lot. I think there's something special about him. But I gotta tell you, drama!
So much drama.
Drama follows him. So, yeah. I like to hang out with him, but my brother's always there. My brother chews with his mouth open. He is so gross. No matter how far away I sit from him, I can still hear him.
Did you see him eating those potatoes?
Summer with him. Oh, I've seen him eat mashed potatoes like that for 14 years. 14 years. Okay. I would love for him to be somebody else's problem. And yet I have to be stuck at this table with him. I can't even. I have to actually position myself so I'm on the same side as him. I can't be diagonal. If I'm diagonal,
He's constantly in your eyesight.
He's too much.
Eyeline.
So I have to be sitting. And my besties who don't have names because we don't know about fourth year Gryffindors, my besties block the view.
Well, they're not important.
They're not important, except to me they are. And they are drama free. They talk about where they went on vacation. Nobody's trying to kill them. Their parents don't have a million kids. Like, I live for September 1st.
Oh, yeah.
Because to me,
you got
to
get away from it all.
Oh, my God. Between my mom crying about Percy, my freaking brothers making me fall down two flights of stairs.
You almost died.
Harry Potter almost dying. I'm telling you, I've got a crush on him, but like he definitely has drama.
You got a crush on Potter?
Shut up. You're not my fart friend yet. Don't say that
Listen,
loud.
I want to go sniffing your farts.
Okay, so I've got the brothers who try to kill me, Percy who's making everybody cry, Ron who has the loudest chewing next to Blake Larson. Oh my God. And then Harry Potter who like shows up like, I'm just like drawn to the bad boys. So it's just hard. So I love sitting down next to my fourth year nameless friends who have basic Summers, what'd you do? Oh, I went to vacation in Mallorca. Oh, that's so nice. How about you? Oh, my daddy made a pool. Oh, we pruned the garden from gnomes. Like, love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Here for it.
Give me normalcy.
Seriously. September 1st is my favorite day. It's also my mom's favorite day. We like high five it because we're like, peace out. We don't have to deal with these men anymore.
We have to deal with each other anymore.
No, me and my mom like each other.
Well, yeah.
So, but we just get it. We both know that we're free. We're free. Free as a bird, fly far, far away. She goes shopping, and I sit down, and I surround myself around people
with
who
your,
don't try to kill me.
Vanilla friends.
Yes.
Just.
It's so
the
good.
The purest definition of.
Oh my gosh.
Vanilla ice cream friends.
Yeah, their drama is that they got pimples, and they like used my brother's, you know, pimple popping medicine, which actually gives them a tail or something. Like it's awesome. I love September 1st. I live for it. I get to be around other girls. I don't smell farts all day, and no one throws me down the stairs. September 1st, favorite day ever.
Oh, good job, Mary.
Thanks.
Like that. All right, you ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it.
You're going to close it out because I have to go get the kids.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for this episode. This is where I would ask Mary if she had any final thoughts or anything, and she's not here. You're stuck with me. So that's that. And I'm not a good host. I'm just, you know, I'm just here, man. And there's my window if you're watching this. I got to fix that because that was there when we were doing stuff with Butterbeer. There we go. More better. So yeah, that's that. If you go to maryandblake.com, you can check out all of our podcasts there, whether it is Outlander Cast or obviously this one, the Potterverse. We will have The Crown coming back up sometime soon when it gets released on Netflix. If you are a fan of House of the Dragon, we have a podcast about that as well. And of course, Bridgerton. I mean, you can't miss Bridgerton. It's incredible. Search us out at Mary and Blake for all of the social media spaces. And if you feel like you want to write into us, you can at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. I know we do have a ton of feedback, and I promise, I feel like I've said this now multiple times in a row, we are going to get it on air. I swear on everything holy. We haven't been able to do it yet. Until then, though, my friends, my name is Blake. I'm speaking for Mary. And you've been listening to the Potterverse. Oh, no, I'm supposed to say mischief managed. Mischief managed.